Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Fans, I'm here today with Celine Yeager. She is the host of Hit Play, Not Pause, a feisty menopause podcast for active, performance-minded women. Celine is a top-selling professional health and fitness writer who lives what she writes. As a NASM certified personal trainer, USA cycling licensed coach, Precision Nutrition One certified nutrition coach, pro licensed off-road racer, and former All-American Ironman triathlete, she just has a lot of knowledge and experience, and we're going to have an awesome conversation with her today. So Celine, thanks so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'd love to kick things off with kind of where you are right now. You know, you're the host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast and founder of, you know, Feisty Menopause, giving menopause guidance for performance-minded individuals. And I would just love to hear you expand, tell us more about, you know, how Feisty Menopause came to be and your inspiration and passion to start it.
Yeah, excellent. I cannot take full credit for Feisty Menopause, so I'll be clear there. I am the face of it. Many people think that I am the founder of it. I am not. The company that founded it is called Feisty Media. So, you know, hence the feisty. They do a lot of feisty things. And it came to their attention that there are a whole lot of women in the menopausal space, you know, in the demographic, you know, including women coming into the transition, which, you know, you could be in your late 30s, early 40s, you know, coming into the menopausal transition. And nobody was really talking to them. And I, at the time, still am, it's almost done and it's almost out, was working on a follow-up to the book Roar, which is a women's specific training and nutrition book with Dr. Stacey Sims. And we were working on a follow-up book for this audience. And they knew about that because they are the agency who works with Dr. Sims. And they came to me and they said, would you like to do a webinar, you know, for this audience? Like, we'd like to start a menopause product, you know, where we're bringing people together and informing them. And I said, you guys should have a podcast. And they said, do you want to do it? And I said, yes. So that was sort of the start of everything. And you know, and from there, I work with Catherine Taylor. She's my right-hand woman over there at Feisty Menopause. And, you know, we just started building this community to see what we would find. And we found an army of women is what we found. You know, so it's really taken off and it's been extraordinary. It's been really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, I think on the website, you know, it says, we are the generation of women who are not willing to quietly retire to our rocking chairs. We have goals, we chase PRs, we dream of challenges to conquer. So yeah, you know, I'm not in a stage of my life, but it is something I think there's a lot of like stigmas associated around menopause, like you said, of like, oh, you know, it's time to retire to your rocking chairs. And that's not the case. So you're finding and creating this community that, you know, women want to be empowered with what their bodies are still able to do and accomplish.
Yes, 100%. Because what happens, you know, I was racing, and I know many women who, and I've lined up with many women and raced with many women all through their 40s. And women, especially in the endurance space, they are extremely competitive, not in just age groups, but in the open fields well into their 40s. I mean, it's, you know, women in the endurance space are, I think they peak even later than men do in many ways. But that, you know, that's sort of a long way of saying that you don't have, you not only don't have to retire, but you can still put in some really amazing performances. But what happens is once the hormones, your sex hormones start fluctuating, all the training that you have done and have come to rely on cannot work the same way, you know, because your hormones are not working with you the same way that they used to. So, you know, you can find that your body composition is changing and your moods are swinging and your thermal regulation isn't very good. And the nutrition, all of the things, you know, just aren't working the same way. And women check out, you know, like a lot of times you see there's two times in a woman's life where they check out of sport, and one is puberty and one is menopause. And there's a reason for that. You know, it's because that all of a sudden their bodies are doing things that they don't really understand. And at least with puberty, there's a school system that helps you understand what's happening. But there was no such thing for especially active women in menopause. Like there was just nobody talked about it. So it was important to let women know that they not only didn't have to retire, but I see women in their Erin Carson, who I've had on the show, hit a PR at 54, you know, so wow. It's not just sitting, not just not getting in the rocking chair, but like you can still be really competitive.
Yeah. And it's so inspiring. And, you know, I've talked a lot, I think, on my podcast and to female athletes in that younger demographic of, you know, going through puberty and the importance of staying in sport and all the changes that happen there. But it's interesting to hear you say it's at both time periods. That's when girls and women drop out of sport, is when we have these crazy hormone fluctuations and issues on both ends.
Right. And all of a sudden we're like, I don't know what's happening. I think maybe I'll just sit over here for a while. And, you know, you understand it. But like knowledge is 100% power in both of those situations. Yeah.
Speaking of knowledge, would you be willing to just kind of shed some knowledge on our listeners about the phases of menopause, right? We have three different phases. We have the pre-menopause, perimenopause, post-menopause.
Yeah. I mean, fair. I wouldn't call pre-menopause a phase just because it's just, you know, your reproductive life, if you will. But then there is perimenopause, which is still really, really misunderstood. And I think that's why a lot of people are just starting to call it the menopause transition, because it's like an easier thing to wrap your head around. It's that as your eggs dwindle, you know, as you sort of like run out of like eggs, your periods change, right? And your sex hormones start fluctuating. And if you look at a graph, like it's remarkable, like, you know, like women's progesterone and estrogen do this lovely symphony all through their reproductive lives. And then they hit that transition and it looks like somebody just starts splattering paint at a wall. Like it's chaos. And that affects everything. You know, it's not just, you know, everyone knows, oh, hot flashes and, oh, you know, you stop getting your periods, but you have estrogen receptors everywhere, and your brain depends on it. You know, I mean, there's the science that's coming out about the brain changes that happen and all these systemic changes, is it's profound. And it's really kind of criminal that we haven't understood this until 2021, some of this stuff, especially with the brain changes. But, you know, that period can last, you know, for most women, it's probably about a 3 to 5 year period, really, but it can extend a decade in some people. And then you go, you know, like once the hormones, you know, you stop ovulating, you stop having periods, the hormones flatline. A year after your last period, that's your postmenopausal. And again, you know, the average age is 52, plenty of, but that's the average, right? So that means some people go into it much later and some people go into it much earlier. And if you go into it, say you go into it at 45, you could easily live almost half your life in that, you know, in a postmenopausal place. So just think it's really important that women understand that and don't look at it the way I think it has traditionally been looked at, like, oh, it's this point of a time where you sort of become an older lady. You know, I mean, so there's all these odd stereotypes around it. And that's, it's just not true. And we hear so many people who, you know, they'll listen to the show, especially younger listeners in their 40s, and they'll be like, that sounds like me. And they'll go to their doctor and their doctors will literally say, oh, you're too young for that. I mean, still, like literally, they'll just be like, yeah, you're too young for menopause. not recognizing there's this huge transition that can take years. And that's actually a good time to start working with them, you know, to like help smooth out that transition.
Yeah, no, my eyes just like got really wide when it's like, oh my gosh, almost half your life could be postmenopause. And this is, I've never thought of it in that way. And so this is something to really empower yourself with the knowledge and not feel like this is doomsday, and to understand what's happening and embrace what's happening and learn how to work with your body, which I think is your mission, right? That's your mission.
That is our tagline. Yes. I mean, work with your physiology, not against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never even really thought about that it could be half of your life in this phase. So that's really important to figure it out.
I see that light bulb going off in your head. Yes. It is, and it's funny how I mean, I was blindsided by it, right? I write about health and fitness for a living. I've written about menopause since I was 28. And I still like had no, I just had no idea, because it's just not out there. You know, it's just that information just wasn't out there. That has changed enormously recently. And I think that's simply because there are so many 50-year-old women in positions of power right now, in positions where they have platforms, you know, that are working in media spaces and working at companies and are just like, I'm going to talk about it. So like, that is going to change very, very quickly. And menopause is 100% having a moment right now. But I think that what's really important and what we try to address is that most people still are pretty inactive, right? They're pretty sedentary. I mean, the bulk of our population is pretty sedentary. So a lot of what the advice you get is base level, you should exercise. You know, and a lot of women, and probably in your audience too, are just like, okay, check. Got that. You know, like I already do exercise. You should, you know, eat a healthy diet. Okay, check. You know, like there's a significant portion of the population who has been active, wants to still be active, wants to feel their best and perform their best, and they need advanced information. They're already doing that basic level of self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's the basic advice of just continue to exercise postmenopause. Like that's, I want to continue to perform at my highest level, or I want to continue to achieve, you know, new goals. I want to keep training for something. For many women in their 40s and 50s is a great time to actually pursue athletic goals, because maybe they're done having babies and raising little kids. It's like that now totally. They're stable in their career and they have the time to focus on training.
Yes. And yes, I did not start racing semi-professionally until I was 40 years old, for all those reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing that for myself right now. I'm 32 and I'm actually pregnant with my first child right now.
Congratulations. I was 32 too. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But yeah, so now I'm thinking, okay, so the next decade of my life is going to be, you know, little kids and family and pregnancies. And like, when am I going to get back into very serious training? Probably in my 40s.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are correct. And that's okay.
And that's okay. And so, well, you know, I've listened to quite a few episodes of Hit Play, Not Pause, and it's a great resource for, you know, just learning about this and educating. And you know, for me too, I'm like, yeah, I can train in my 40s. That's going to happen. This is, you know, possible. What are some other ways that, because I think just with Feisty Menopause and you kind of being the face of that, I think you guys have other things going on. You have like a membership program for people to learn. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we do. We have a membership. We have, you know, it sort of started with the Hit Play Not Pause Facebook group, which is a private group, but you just ask to be let in. And if you're not a troll or a spammer, you can come on in. But then it became pretty clear that, you know, there was a population of women who wanted a deeper sort of more personal dive. So the membership is at feistymenopause.com. And you know, for a nominal fee, you get in-depth materials, often based off the podcast, you know, because people tell me like, there's so much information in there. So I distill it, I expand on it, I have more interviews, you know, we have expert webinars with some of the guests and some of the, you know, other experts who I know, who I bring in. And it's just that, like, we have a Slack channel, it's just a good community where you can go a little bit deeper and ask like follow-up questions about hormone therapy and, you know, all the kind of stuff. It's still very confusing waters to navigate, even with information, because everybody's individual and there's just so many factors to take into consideration.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was on your website before hopping on this recording with you, and you guys are hosting, or Feisty Menopause is hosting, like a summit at the end of this month or just in like a week or two.
The 24th through the 26th. Mm-hmm.
So you're inviting in like experts to talk about these topics and just educate your audience.
Yes. Super exciting. We wanted to have a live component, but we had to shelve it because of what everybody knows, the pandemic that will not stop. But we've done these virtual summits before. We did one last year. That was the nice thing is that some of these platforms now, the online platforms, are super engaging. You know, so we have we use Hopin. So when you come in, like, there's a stage and you can, everybody says where they are, you know, and that they say hello and they can ask questions, and it feels very interactive. It doesn't feel like anyone is just sitting there staring at a screen or talking to a wall. And we have a really nice lineup of guests. I have Rebecca Rush coming in to give a keynote, you know, who I raced with, and she is 52 as well and is still out there just doing amazing things on her mountain bike and exploration. It's really great to see, you know, and just all kinds of doctors on orthopedic health and bone health and sexual health. And yeah, I could go on and on, but it's a really great resource. So if people want to go to feistymenopause.com, you can get a ticket and you don't have to sit there locked at your computer all that weekend. You can watch it all until the end of the year. It's all available to you until December 31st.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because you know what, we recognize that, like, it's exciting, but maybe I don't want to sit at my computer for the entire weekend.
For 8 hours and right. A day. Yeah, so you can have access to all that materials, and that's amazing. Yeah. So I would love to chat a little bit more about, like, your athletic journey and how, you know, learning about your hormones and menopause has benefited you, because I mean, you yourself, you're just an amazing athlete. In 2008, you came in 25th place in Ironman World Championships. that's pretty, that's really impressive. So, you have so many like podium finishes. I think, one question I want to ask you, just with this being a nutrition podcast, you know, with just being a female athlete, what are some of the most helpful nutrition tactics that you've kind of used in your personal athletic career that have...
Oh boy, that's a lifelong journey right there.
It is, isn't it?
You know,
Loaded question.
It just really is. And, you know, what's interesting, you know, I had the really great honor and privilege of working with Dr. Stacy Sims during the writing of that book. You know, we started that in 2014, you know, so that's been quite a while now. And I learned a lot then. I have always been an athlete who struggles, honestly, with the nutrition piece, especially with long distance. I do a lot of marathon level stuff. So not just Ironman, but then later I was a mountain bike stage racer. And then it's multiple days of multiple hours. And, you know, sometimes in high heat, which is a real bear to try to manage your nutrition. And I would often find myself getting gut rot and trying to figure out, like, what's going on. And I didn't understand at the time, and I later put two and two together with the help of Dr. Sims, that, you know, even within your cycle, so during your high hormone phases as you're leading into your period, like, you know, that bloating you get is your blood plasma shifting. So you have less plasma available to you to help you cool down and sweat. Like, that's kind of a big deal, you know, and like it's harder for your to manage your thermoregulation, which is also a really big deal when you're somewhere like Kona or just anywhere, really, you know. So just like having her help me go like, okay, how do I manage this? And having simple tips, like making sure to be hyper hydrated before an event like that. They have all these wonderful products now that are pretty high in sodium, you know, that like it's a preload product that you can drink the night before, the morning after, just to kind of pump your blood volume up and try to be as hydrated as you can going into it. And then just, you know, learning about like that gel that you're taking, you're probably not, and I'm talking about me personally, washing it down with enough water, you know, and that's causing trouble. And it would cause trouble for me. It would be like a lot of not happy belly stuff. So watch how much sugar you're pouring into your system, because it can only leave at a certain rate. Like just learning all of that, along with the pieces of your physiology, you know, sometimes, especially as you get to be more in that menopausal transition, you become more carb sensitive, I mean, more insulin resistant, right? So it's kind of important to work with your nutrition around your training, you know, like take it easy on those carbs when you don't need them. I mean, you still need carbs, right? I mean, it's still fueling you, but save like the real, the gummy stuff and the real things for like when you're on the bike or when you're on the run. You know, that was a really important piece to know, and that you need so much more protein because your muscle protein synthesis is not as effective as it used to be. You know, so, and that should be spaced out throughout the day. Like there's a lot of things, there's a lot of tools you can put in your toolbox to sort of make yourself resilient and make yourself strong and fuel yourself and be able to go those long distances or go fast or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do out there. But like all things being equal, fuel is the thing that does most people in my experience.
I agree.
You know, when on the line, like fueling mistakes are responsible for more DNFs than anything I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Especially those GI concerns in the endurance sports.
Totally.
Because once that happens, you know, and you're in the middle of a race, there's not much you can do about
once
it.
Nothing is coming in, or you're at worst, you're maybe throwing it up. Like once your gut locks up, your day is, it's a lot of work to get the day back. It's not, yeah.
Yeah. So I love how, you know, you started that with like, it's a journey, because it is, you're, as a female athlete, your experiences with nutrition should be a journey. It starts with just the foundation, which unfortunately most people don't have a nutrition knowledge foundation in this country. We don't learn it in school. So you have to understand just, you know, decent nutrition for day to day. And then you kind of up level of like, what do I need for my specific sport in sports nutrition? And then you up level from there as well of like, okay, let me get into hormones and phase of my cycle and, you know, what tactics can really optimize my nutrition during these different time periods. What I see so often is people want all the, you know, fun nitty gritty details and specific product stuff before they even have a foundation of decent nutrition.
Like a marginal gain. Like what is that?
Yeah.
That thing in that packet that will be my magic for the day that I can put in my bottle or in my pocket. Right. You're like,
yeah.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah. Can we start with eating some breakfast first? Because we haven't gotten
right, exactly.
That down yet. Yeah. But that is why, too, I think the book, Dr. Stacy Sims' book, Roar, which you helped co-author some of that. Am mm-hmm. I correct? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why that book was just so wonderful for so many people, because it did get to those details about understanding your cycle and your hormones that so many athletes were missing for so long. So when you have the foundation, then you have the sports nutrition, but it's like, wait, things are different for me during different times in the month. And I want to shed light on something you said earlier. During a high hormone phase, when we're often women feel more bloated. And so a lot of women think, I don't want to drink water. I need to cut back my sodium. And that is the exact opposite of what you should do
right,
for performance,
right? Oh, great
right?
Point. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the exact
yes.
opposite. That's, yes. It's. I remember when I read the book, that was my first time learning that as well of, oh, high hormone phase, even if you're bloated, you actually need more sodium if you expect to perform better the next day.
Right. Because you need that blood plasma. You need it where you need it. You need to get some, yeah, pump up your blood plasma so you can get the nutrients where you need them and you can sweat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, fans, I'm going to pause this conversation to let you ladies know about the Rise Up Nutrition Coaching Program. We have a lot of ways that we can help clients here at Rise Up Nutrition. And this is one of two amazing opportunities to get the direct help you need. With our team of sports dietitians, this program helps adult female athletes fuel to perform without strict dieting. Ah, how good does that sound? Finally, you will understand nutrition for day-to-day training, eat intuitively with foods that you love, and be race day or competition day ready with energy and confidence. We have more details about what's included and how we can help on our website, riseupnutritionrun.com/group coaching. Links are in the show notes, but I quickly want to share what a few of our clients have said about their experiences in this program so far. Sophie, a trail runner, says, quote, "I really encourage anyone who has struggled with eating and lives an active lifestyle to consider this program, because it's so hard to know if you're fueling properly without someone on the outside looking in from an objective point of view. I now feel confident in my food choices and more than anything, confident that I can actually eat more and that it will only benefit my health and my training. Sarah, another one of our clients and triathletes, says, quote, "For anyone that is struggling with diet culture, a history of disordered eating, and is trying to learn how to eat and fuel, this is a program they should strongly consider. I've been active my whole life and trying to fit a mainstream diet has never worked. In fact, it's created more problems than good. Working with Rise Up Nutrition has made things very simple." So again, if you are an adult female athlete that wants to perform better without strict dieting, click that link in our show notes to apply to the Rise Up Nutrition Coaching Program, and we would be thrilled to have you join us. Until then, we will get back to the conversation. And so that book, for those listeners who haven't read it, I definitely recommend it. I think it's great to understand. And so you said you are working on a follow-up to that. Are you allowed to tell us more?
It will be called Next Level, and it is out May 2022. So we are finally, it was supposed to be out this year, but the pandemic, everyone started hearing that word, but it threw the publishing industry into disarray. And Stacy is in New Zealand. So just trying to she was supposed to come back to the States so we could work together. Long story short, it got bumped quite a bit, but it will be out next year.
Okay, amazing. And is that specifically focusing on the menopause athlete?
Like a 40 plus, yeah, like a perimenopause through menopause athlete.
Yeah. What are some of the major physiological and therefore I think nutritional differences that female athletes might have to make post-menopause compared to pre? I preach a lot on this podcast of, fueling up with lots of carbohydrates. And I heard you already say we become more carb sensitive, post-menopause. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those ratios just change. That way, if there was one big thing, it would be that, honestly, is that the carbs get dialed back and the protein gets dialed up. And it's really just because of that. And it becomes more essential to fuel your activity, because you aren't eating those carbs as much perhaps during the day, but you still need to fuel your activity. That's very important. So you're getting more protein and you're really thinking more strategically about your carbohydrates, and I think most people should think more strategically anyway about them, but you do become more sensitive to them, your cortisol levels tend to sit a little higher, become a little bit more insulin resistant. So it just becomes more important to pay a little bit more attention to getting more protein at every single meal and planning your carbs around your activity, because you don't want to end up in low energy availability. And what ends up happening is women go into this transition and their body composition starts changing. And the reason for that is that as your estrogen drops, right, your brain's like, I don't like this, because estrogen does a lot of things. Estrogen is anabolic. It's a very important hormone. Fat stores produce a weak form of estrogen called estrone. So as your estradiol drops off, your body's like, we need more estrogen. What are we going to do? And it does start increasing your fat storage to make that estrogen. Like that's why that seems to happen overnight sometimes for some women. So like working with your physiology, it helps to do more strength training, plan your nutrition so you're giving your body optimum amounts of what it needs and not more than it needs, and all of that. So I'm not even really sure where we started with this. I think I got off on a tangent, but
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think I got off on a tangent. Where did we start with that?
Yeah, the question was just, what are some of the major nutritional changes that women might need to consider?
Oh, okay, and that's honestly the big one, because I know where we were going with that, is that because those things are happening, the first thing that women start to want to do is eat less, because that's what they've done their whole life, right? As soon as the body composition changes, they're like, I must just cut back. And that's actually the worst thing they can do, because now their body, they've already have more cortisol that they're having a hard time getting rid of. Now you're putting it in an even more stressed state. And what happens when you put your body in more stressed state? It hangs on to those stores. It does the opposite of what you want it to do. And low energy availability, especially in this this demographic, especially if they're getting close to menopause, they might not have the periods to recognize when they're getting into that, right? Like, mm-hmm. So you have to be really careful to, a fueled athlete is always faster. A fueled athlete is always stronger. It's good to fuel yourself. You just have to be more strategic.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking, what I was thinking about is this more intentional carbs is what you're saying. It's not necessarily just less carbs. It's intentional carbs, intentional timing of your carbs, and then also more of a focus on protein. And I'm going to say unfortunately, I think that is a lot of female athletes' mindset, even in their younger years, though, too, is over-focus on protein and under-focus on carbs. They're probably not even intentional about it. They're just restrictive about it. Like, that's what I see all the time. And I'm sure you have too, is that they're, you know, most people throughout their life are over-focusing on protein and under-focusing on carbs. So they're often in a low energy availability state. And then you go into menopause where maybe you do want to have that shift, but there's nothing to even shift to.
That's a great, great point. And you still, you know, we should both drive that point super, super strongly home. I am not saying don't eat carbohydrates by any stretch of the imagination. No. Like you will feel much better if you eat carbs. You should eat carbs, just like eat more, you know, everybody knows that the more complex sources, women in this demographic also need more fiber. Because the gut microbiome is a little more likely to get, you know, perturbed. So eat more fibrous carb sources. You know what I mean? And you get a 2-for-1. Your gut health is good. And, you know, that helps with your hormones too. So yeah, by no means am I saying don't eat carbohydrates, but it is more useful for you to, you know, be strategic, plan them more around your activity and to make sure that you're spacing your protein out throughout the day. You know, sometimes it's not even a matter of women needing to eat more. Sometimes it is, but sometimes they're just dumping it all in at the end of the day. And that's not super productive. You know, it's better to get it throughout the day because your body is going to be able to synthesize it way better that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And the risk of low energy availability too, it is a confusing one pending your age, because you might wonder when you're 40, am I going into menopause or am I in a low energy availability state? And I've had quite a few clients actually that I've worked that out with. And well, in either situation, it's like, well, you don't want to be in a low energy availability state no matter what. So heal that first. And then it's like, if your hormones restore and you get your cycle back, then that was it. And if they don't, then maybe it is early menopause or something like that. But you know, either situation, you have to fix the low energy availability and start fueling properly. Like you said, a fueled athlete is the fitter and faster athlete. So
always.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, Celine. I sometimes, like for me, I'm like, I just don't know much about menopause. So this has been so insightful just to help me learn more.
Yeah, it's totally. And why would you? I mean, you know, I honestly, like, I don't, you know, I knew not what you're pregnant. You know,
yeah,
like,
I'm going
I
through
would
that.
Not even, yeah, I wouldn't even be thinking about it. And I wasn't thinking about it until I started going into it. And, you know, honestly, like, what would I have done if I had the information earlier? I would have known that some of what I was experiencing was probably hormonal, and it would have helped me. Like, I was starting to have, like, just kind of crazy anxiety, and that is a symptom. But I was just like, okay, maybe I'm just like this now. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I just was like more anxious than usual. And you know, getting night sweats, and just like strange things that now looking back, I'm like, well, of course that was hormones. But at the time, you know, I didn't know. You know, so it like knowledge is really, I think just, I was talking to someone earlier today and she said, you know, she had sort of just discovered the podcast. And even though her symptoms are pretty much the same, they're not as distressing to her because she knows where they're coming from. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
I think so too. It's just like you said, you don't want to feel like I'm just now suddenly an anxious person, or I'm now a crazy person, or I'm now, you know, this is my fate now. It's like, no, this is a process. This is something that's changing.
Right.
It's something I'll adapt
that
to.
That helps. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. That alone helps, honestly.
And I'm going to backtrack too, to even like at the different stages in our life. Same thing with puberty. It helps for young girls to just understand what they're going through so they don't feel like something's wrong with them. So I think with all these hormone fluctuations, you know, our fifth grade gym teacher who tried telling us, you know, 15 minutes of what was going on just isn't enough. And so,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, for menopause, we never, probably women of the past never got anything. So like you said, this is a big boom.
Even their mothers didn't really talk about it, right? Like you just never really got anything. And worse, you know, because, you know, we talked about the body composition changes, like so often that would be just like, oh, well, you must just be, you know, like women be like, am I getting lazy? You know, am I not doing, like literally just blaming themselves for these changes. Where in puberty, like you would never look at a young girl who's gotten hips and breasts and be like, what have you done? You know, I mean, her body has just changed. So, but at the other end, like when a woman is getting perhaps like, you know, a bit of a belly when she didn't have one before, because that's just how things are shifting. Like all of a sudden we're like, oh, well that, what have you done? You must be eating more and exercising less. And it's like, no, you're talking to women who have like had training peaks calendars since 1995. They know what they've been doing, you know?
Yeah. And they're still doing it. And they're probably working harder now too.
Right. So yeah, it's, we're getting there.
Yeah. So what about you right now? Are you still training and competing, or are you doing it recreationally for yourself? What does your athletics career look like currently?
Yeah, I'm not as I still hold a pro license, just because I still hold a pro license. I don't race as much at all as I used to. And that's by design. You know, I took it. It takes a lot of emotional energy to race at that level, you know, and I wanted to pour some of that emotional energy into other things like this podcast, like my business, like things that I wanted to grow. And I had taken the racing space as far as I was interested in taking it, but I still wanted to, you know, do some of these competitions and do events. I'm still on my bike, you know, 12 hours a week. I'm still doing a lot of the things that I've always done. I just am way more choosy. So I just choose events that are in beautiful places that I want to see, or, you know, have some sort of element to them that I find exciting. I don't think I'll ever stop that, you know, but I care much less about podium positions. If I get on my podium for my age group, that's awesome. If I don't, that's okay too. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's just such a great inspiration to other, you know, women who are going through this phase in their life and want to stay active, that you're still doing it, you're still crushing it, and this can still happen.
Oh, for sure. And I have many contemporaries who are crushing it even harder in many ways. It's really cool to see. And I think that what people need to realize is that women have always been capable of doing this. We just, you didn't have women in sport the same way, right? Like my generation, some women just a little older than me, we were the first ones, you know, to come up under Title IX, the first ones to, like, my mom's generation wasn't playing sports, and they weren't doing triathlons, they weren't running marathons. That's a much newer invention, you know, in our culture. So who knows what we're going to see, you know, with the young girls you're working with. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
We're so much savvier than we were even 10 years ago, you know, like it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. Another light bulb just went off in my head. This is such a fun conversation, but because yeah, you are kind of the first generation that's had like a lifetime of sport.
Yes.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the generation before you didn't have opportunities as youth female athletes. Those opportunities weren't there. So maybe they picked up exercise, you know, in their 30s and 40s a little bit for health reasons. But like your generation is the first that really participated in sport from a young age. And that's why you're seeing it all the way through. And that's why you don't want to stop now.
Totally. And that's why we hit this place with no information. And we're like, oh, guess we hit this weird vacuum, you know, I guess we should do something about that and build a bridge, you know, so we're kind of building it while we're on it, but that's okay. Other women will be able to walk over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Celine, we can't thank you enough for helping to build this community to give female athletes that the knowledge to continue their athletic and nutrition and, you know, health for their life for the second half of their life. So,
yes.
If people want to follow you and follow your material, where can they find you?
Well, they can find us, you know, the Feisty Menopause crew at Feisty Menopause. We're on Instagram and Facebook. As I mentioned, we have that Hit Play Not Pause private Facebook group, which is a really great community. We've got about 7,500 women in there, and it's growing all the time. I've not seen a more supportive group in my time on these online social circles. So I'm really, really proud of that and really excited by it. And those are probably the best places to find us and what we're up to.
Yeah. And you have personally lots of articles and publications. You write for magazines. Like you said, you know, the follow-up to Roar book is coming out next year. But yeah, so look, you know, are there any magazines specifically that you like always write for? Or I know I've seen your articles everywhere.
I have been writing for Bicycling magazine since 1998. And I still am on the masthead there. So I still contribute to them regularly. Runner's World. Those are the two big ones. But, you know, I owe the Oprah magazine. I still, Oprah Daily, I've shown up on here and there. So yeah, I like to keep, you know, the magazines are great. Triathlete, I write for, I do still a lot of book writing, but you can find that work. I am at Celine Yeager Fitchick on, or is it Fitchick Celine Yeager? Fitchick Celine Yeager at Facebook. And that's where I've got that moniker from. My first column at Bicycling Magazine was Ask the Fitness Chick, because I was a trainer and I handled all training and fitness things. And then it just became Fit Chick. And I still will be at an event and people will be like, are you the Fit Chick? And I'm like, I can't believe I still am. But yes, yes, that is me. I'm still here.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You can find me Fit Chick 3 on Instagram and Fit Chick Celine Yeager on Facebook.
Yeah. Just with all the articles you've put out, all the books that you've helped write, and, you know, you're a trusted source of information, somebody who's been in this career field for so long. So it's great. Celine, I'd love to wrap up this podcast with a few rapid fire questions if you're down to play along.
Oh boy. Okay.
All right. Okay.
I will do my best.
If there was one food you could eat every single day for the rest of your life and never get sick of it, what would it be?
Sushi.
So good. Do you have a specific type or like fish that you like?
I like any of the spicy varieties. So like anything with a good jalapeno sauce is great, but I tend to stick to the basics, like a, you know, the salmon is, anything with salmon and avocado does it for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spicy tuna roll with just a little wasabi is my favorite.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite sport to participate in yourself?
Cycling.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's, I identify as a cyclist. I ride my bike every single day. So that is by far my favorite.
How about as a spectator? Do you have a favorite sport that you really enjoy being a spectator at?
That's a good question. I do like to spectate cycling as well, because there are different, it's such a big sport, you know, like Criterium road racing, where they go around, you know, like a closed off circuit in a downtown city like Tulsa Tough. I would never do that myself. That's not my kind of racing, but it is really exciting to watch. So, you know, when I watch the tour and I watch all those kind of things. So I do like spectating cycling. Yeah. And honestly, I watch football, and I find that surprising about myself, but I think it's because my grandfather was such a fan and I have this nostalgia of sitting with him on a Sunday afternoon watching football, that it just brings that back to me. Like whenever someone's got a game on, I will definitely sit down and take that in.
Happy memories. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So a true cyclist, both participation and as a spectator, and in football too. All right. And then last question, if there's a female athlete out there that you find really inspirational or just a role model, you know, somebody in your personal life or someone, you know, more known famously, who would that be and why?
Oh, that's a great question. There are quite a few. I mean, I have lots of people who would not know their names in my private circles who continue to inspire me, who are in their 50s and their 60s and are still doing 70s. There's a woman who I met at a race locally, mountain bike racer. Her name's Nancy, who didn't learn to mountain bike until she was 63. And I just saw a picture of her with a full face helmet on. She's going to be 70, going down this gnarly steep descent on her mountain bike. And I was like, wow, like that I find, because honestly, I find it so inspirational because, you know, I hit a point on my mountain bike, like, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm done. But I look at that and I'm like, I could probably get some lessons and even learn more, you know, like looking at Nancy, look at the thing that she's doing that I would be like, I don't know if I want to do that. But, you know, that's the beauty about these kind of sports is once you're pretty proficient at them, you actually gain a whole lot from lessons in them because you already have such a broad base of knowledge and skill that, you know, a little bit more attention to some technique goes a long way.
Yeah. So impressive to see Nancy, is her name? Nancy,
yes.
70 years old, just crushing it on that mountain bike.
With a full face going down this hill. It's so awesome. Going over jumps. Yeah. You know, she's at a bike park with her coach, who is a lovely man. I know him well. And it's really rad.
Yeah, I love that. And again, I think kind of theme of this conversation today is just you don't have to slow down no matter your age, right? That's the name of your podcast. You hit play, not pause. You're not slowing down.
Yep.
You're still going. So I hope everybody will go listen to your podcast, Hit Play, Not Pause, and join those groups to be empowered, gain knowledge. Celine, thank you so much for joining and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's been a treat. And when do you do?
December.
Oh, it's coming up.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Yeah, it's coming up. I know. So I still have a lot to learn.
Got plenty of time.
I'll figure it out.
Good luck.
Thank you so much, Celine.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode and thanks for listening. But before I let you go, I have free resources that you can have access to right away, right now, so that you can start fueling your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. First, I have your Red S recovery race. If you've ever wondered if you might be struggling with Red S, curious to learn more, or know you have Red S and are looking to recover fast, then you can head to www.riseupnutritionrun.com/redS and download the Red S Recovery Race. See how you place and figure out the next steps to recovery. Plus, while there, I have a few other great resources for you, including 3 nutrition secrets that every elite athlete swears by and access to our private Facebook community, Female Athlete Nutrition. So again, to gain access to all of this, head to riseupnutritionrun.com/redS. That's /REDS. And you can gain access and get the help you need fast. Too many girls and women and female athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. Become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and I'll see you next time.